does live, and that Redeemer is Christ Jesus himself. Amen? And Christ loved us enough that he died on the cross to give us an opportunity to spend eternity with him for those that are willing to obey him. I'd like to say good morning to everyone. And those that are visiting with us, we want you to know you are honored guests. You are our VIPs, are very important persons. We want you to know not only do we want you to visit with us, but we want you to be, as we are, Christians, members of the Lord's body. And we ask will give word from the Bible to instruct you on how to become a child of God, how to obey the Lord and become a Christian on today. We don't want you to leave without becoming a Christian. Amen? Amen? And also, if you're visiting with us, what you are experiencing is New Testament worship, where we worship according to the Bible. We sing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments. We read from the Apostles' Doctrine, from the Word of God. We've taken the Lord's Supper, commune with the Lord, and also we've given back to the Lord based on what the Lord has given us. Amen? And so again, I want to say I'm excited this morning to stand before you. And I want to encourage us. Sometimes we come in and we listen to the Word of God. I want to encourage us to become students of the Word of God. The students in that when we come to the Word of God, I'm this Brother Stroud saying this here, I'm encourage you to take notes and to write down, because even though the man stand before you and preach the Word of God, he can be in error. Amen? And so we need to be able to take note and go back and examine. And sometimes when we go back and look at the Word of God, sometimes it'll bless us more by rereading what we simply heard in our ears. Amen? Amen. And so this morning I want to come to you from the subject. I know we have about 2 weeks left in the year. Amen? God has blessed us, those that are still on the time side of life. God has blessed us. We're 2 weeks away from entering into, the Lord said the same, a new year. And so I think it's important that we use the Word of God to look at, how should I look at 2017? How do I deal with 2017? How do I deal with the issues and challenges that I had in this year? Yeah. And then with 2018, I'm close enough to almost touch it in 2 weeks. How should I prepare myself for 2018? Well, from a spiritual standpoint, I need to go to the Bible. I need to go to the Bible. And so I want us to look at the Word of God on this morning. And I want to speak from the subject, and you'll find in the text, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark, but again, I want to ask you to meet me at Philippians 3 and verse number 12, that we can see what God would have us to see as Paul talked to those in Philippi. Now, I don't know if he was writing this message, this letter to them, if it was toward the end of the year, but he talked to them about looking at the year that they're in and then how they can look forward. And I think if we stay with the Word of God, God can bless us on this morning. Amen? And so Paul, in his writing, Brother Wayne, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12, if you'll read that verse for me, please.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So Paul said to them, he said, not as though I've already obtained. I'm not there yet. He said, either were already perfect. And what Paul was saying, I don't have everything together. I'm not one that, I still need some work that God needs to do. He said, I'm not there yet. And none of us need to feel that we are already there. We have arrived. Paul said, it's not as though I've already obtained this. He said, either were already perfect. I don't have it all together. He said, but I'm going to follow something. Yeah, I'm going to follow something. He said, but I'm going to follow after. Now watch what he says. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now Paul said, I'm following after something. And he said, what I'm following after, I'm trying to apprehend it. And the word apprehend means to lay hold on something. He said, watch this here. He said, I'm trying to lay hold on that for which also I have been apprehended. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm trying to lay hold on something because Jesus didn't lay hold on me. Yeah. Yeah, we need to realize that those of us that are Christian, Jesus has laid hold on you. Jesus has, and if I can say this, you know how sometimes we tell law enforcement, we say, apprehend that man. That means lay hold on him. Yeah, and so what Paul was acknowledging is that Christ has laid hold on me. And if you're a Christian, Christ has laid hold on you. But the question is, what you going to do now that Christ has laid hold on you? Well, I want to say off of that, I think the Apostle Paul had a Jesus knocking at your door moment. Yeah, go to give me Revelation 3:20. See, I think some of us have had Jesus knocking at our door moment. But Jesus been knocking on the door and some of us ain't answering no more. Yeah, yeah. Now Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, watch what he says.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Greed.
If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
Yeah, now see, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is right now knocking on your heart. And you have to open the door. Some of us haven't opened the door this year. Jesus says, if you hear my voice and then open the door. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, I ought to be hearing the voice of the Lord from a congregational setting. Now, I need to hear from the Lord every day in my daily walk. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
But the Lord says, I'm standing at your heart and I'm knocking. Now, Jesus said, if you open up the door, guess what? If you listen to my word, then I will come in, and Jesus said, I will sup with you. And to sup means what Jesus said, we'll have a spiritual communion between you and the Lord. Yeah. When we listen to the word of God, when the word of God is able, when we open up our hearts to the word of God, then the word of God allows us to have communion with the Lord. Jesus said, I will sup with him and he with me. Jesus can only have a relationship with you when you listen to his voice through his word. Yeah. And that's why I've said for some of us, we need to start taking notes. Sometimes I can come in here and I can listen to the word of God. And if we be honest with ourselves, sometime before nighttime come, if someone asks you, what was the subject preached this morning, you couldn't go to the text. And if I can't go to the text, I surely can't talk about what was preached this morning. But Jesus said we got to be able to hear his voice. So now, what if Paul had a Jesus knocking at the door moment. Now, I want to say for all of us, we need to have that knocking at the door moment. And it may be you sitting here this morning.
and Jesus been knocking, and you haven't been answered. But you came this morning, and you said, you know what? I'm going to open the door and let him in. That sounds like a song. You say, open up the door and let him in. Well, let us see how, what does that knocking on the door moment mean? Go to Acts 26, Brother Wayne, because we want to see when Jesus came knocking at the door of Paul, and when Paul heard the voice of Christ, and how Jesus Christ responded to Christ. And again, I want to encourage you this morning, and if you're a visitor this morning, Jesus, through the word of God, Jesus is going to knock on your door, and we are going to give you a chance to answer the door. But in Acts 26, Brother Wayne, let me get that with you. And beginning at verse number 12, we'll see it unfold. And sometimes I don't like to assume people know the scriptures. Let's read the scriptures together, and so we'll know what the word of God said. But in Acts 26 and verse number 12, the Bible says what?
Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests,
yeah,
at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
So Paul said here, I was on my way to Damascus, and I had authority from the chief priest. And so I want to say to all of us, sometimes some of us, we've lived 2017, and we've been on our way to Damascus. We've been doing what we want to do. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I just been living this year, 2017, and I've been, whether I said or not, I'm on my way to Damascus. I'm just doing whatever I'm big enough to do. See, Paul had gotten a letter from the chief priest. He got authority from them to do what he wanted to do. But I'm saying to all of us that when we just do what we want to do, live our lives, don't listen to the voice of Jesus, you on your way to Damascus. Yeah. And Paul was interrupted. He said at midday. He was telling Agrippa, he said, O king, he said, I saw a light from heaven. He said it was above the brightness. It was a light that was above. It wasn't the sun, because he said it was above the brightness of the sun. And he said that light shined, and those that was with me saw it. And he said, when we were
all fallen to the earth,
mm-hmm,
I heard a voice speaking unto me,
yeah,
and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah, let me say this to all of us. And that's the voice that he heard. Today, if the Christian don't have the word of God in his heart, nothing will stop him or her from sinning. If you don't have the word of God in your heart, nothing can stop you from sinning. Yeah. The word of God is your protection from sinning. Why you say that, Brother Stroud? Because in Psalms 119:11, stay where you are, Brother Wayne, the Bible says, David wrote, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin
against thee.
See, when you ain't got no word, nothing. You know how sometimes you want to do something, mm-hmm, and you know what you want to do is against God's will. Yeah. And then if I say, well, no, that don't happen. Yeah, it does happen to you, because it happened to Jesus. Yeah, in Matthew 4, the Bible said he was led up. He was led up. Go to Matthew 4, Brother Wayne. I don't want to make that assumption. Let us know, because sometimes we think, well, we ain't tempted. No, you've been tempted. You just don't know you've been tempted, and you giving in to sin. You don't know you just sinning. Yeah. But you need to know what temptation means. And I ain't talking about that. I ain't talking about the temptations. I'm talking about temptation. Yeah, let me get that right. Yeah, brother Timo. I'm not talking about the temptations. I'm talking about temptation. Yeah, because you had, we, you know, some of us been out there. You know y'all had the temptations out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, y'all know about that. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, don't act like you've been in the church all your life. Yeah, you had the temptation. You had the four tops. Yeah. Yeah, Gladys Knight, and she had some.
Pip.
Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, if you try to, yeah. James Brown told you, get up off of that. Yeah, some of y'all did that too. Yeah, but now we're trying to do it for Jesus. But I'm trying to show us how all of us are tempted because Christ was, Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness mm-hmm. to be tempted of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered.
So now watch this here now. Jesus, the Bible said, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he was led to be tempted. And the Bible says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after he was hungry. And let me say this to all of us. Sometimes all of us get spiritually weak. Yeah, and we get weak. And it's when you at your lowest point sometimes is when the devil come and the devil will knock on your door also. It ain't just Jesus. You know, sometimes we have cell phones and we know who it is by the ring on the phone. Amen, somebody. Yeah, but when the devil rings your bell, he plays songs you like to hear. Yeah. And the Bible says, and when the tempter
came to him,
yeah.
he said,
yeah.
if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.
Yeah, yeah. So now understand this here. What does it mean to be tempted, Brother Stroud? By definition, anytime I am influenced to do something bad, something wrong, or something sinful, I'm being tempted. Yeah. The devil's job, and he ain't quitting, is to tempt those of us that are in Christ. And so when I'm tempted, Brother Wayne, what is the prescription that Jesus gave in Matthew 4 to deal with any time the devil comes at me? He said what?
It is written.
Yeah.
Man shall not live by bread alone.
You can't live by food only, but
by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
That's it. See, understand this. If Jesus said that, Brother Wayne, he said that because physical food has a purpose. Physical food gives us energy. Physical food keeps us healthy if we eat healthy. Physical food does all of that to the body. Well, what Jesus was saying, spiritual food does the same thing. It'll give you energy. It'll keep you spiritually healthy if you eat of it. Amen, somebody. Yeah, so what are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm trying to connect with us. When we don't hear the voice of Jesus, you are a sitting. Yeah, quiet. That's all you are. That's all you are. And for some of us, we wonder, why was 2017 so much a struggle for me? Because you ain't listening to Jesus. You listening to yourself. You telling yourself what you want to do. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. Can't nobody live in this life and call themselves spiritual and do what you want to do. You know, I know they had a song, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you. Yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. Yeah, I'm saying, the world pulls us, and understand this here, we remember that. Yeah, and I'm not saying anything against it, because I've been out there too, amen, somebody. Yeah, I remember that too. But what I'm saying is, I got to now be able to hear from the voice of God. Go back to Acts 26. Yeah, because see, Paul had that Jesus knocking at the door moment in Acts 26, when Jesus came to him, he said, Saul, Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? Read.
It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah.
And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest.
Now watch this here. See, so I'm offering to all of us that right now, whether you realize it or not, Jesus is at your door. And some of us are like Paul was. He said, who is it? Who is it? Jesus identifies himself. I'm the one you are persecuting. Now, so what do I do when Jesus knock at my door? Verse 16, Brother Wayne. But rise
and stand upon thy feet.
Yeah.
For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
Yeah.
To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee.
Now, Jesus told Paul, and I'm talking to the church now, he said, when he talked about, I'm going to make you a minister, the word minister doesn't mean sometimes what we want to mean, but a minister is nothing but a servant. So Jesus told Paul, I'm going to make you a servant, and I want to say, church, all of us are servants, and Christ came into his life. Notice what Jesus told him. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. See, we got to understand that you got to have life with a purpose. And I found out sometimes young people don't have no purpose in life. Amen, somebody. We ask our young people sometimes, what do you want to be when you are? Well, I don't know where I want to be yet. Yeah. But it's parental guidance that should give our children guidance and direction and find out what the child have a purpose for and direct that child. Now, let me say this here, because we live in a time now. We got to be careful. We got to be careful that just because your child want to be something, you don't let him be anything he want to be. Because we living in a time now where you got girls or boys growing up and they telling their parents, I'm a girl inside a boy's body. Yeah, you need to say, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, and then the parent will raise that child and fight the school because that I want him to be able to go in the girls' restroom.
Foolishness.
And then parents, we pacify that behavior. I know when I was growing up, and see, we don't give credit enough, Brother Tima, to how our parents raised us upright. Because when you was a little boy, you gonna have army men. Yeah, because back then they had something called a draft, and you was gonna sign up for the service, whether you want to or not. So you may as well learn how to deal with army men, whether you want to or not. Yeah. And back then, little girl will go in the closet and get mama shoes and mama dress. And they would come out of there and they would throw, you know, they used to have them scars and throw it around their neck. Y'all remember? Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah. And girls were girls back then. And they wanted to grow up and be just like mama. And the boys grow up, you know, sometimes there were times when things were going on and the dad would say, boy, come with me. You ain't have no choice. But we done got away from that. Whatever children want to be, sometimes, and understand this here, you know, and I know what the side we living in. But no, I know back then, if your parents caught the boy wanting to mess with women's shoes, you may not live to tell nobody what happened to you. They just come back and say, you know, my nickname was Firma when I grew up. And when you grow up, your parents give you names for any reason. Now, my nickname was Firma because we had a dealership called Firma Chevrolet. So they named me after a Chevrolet company. Boy, you people. And they wonder why you grow up so throw when you grow up. Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, when I grew up, man, when we would be outside, I had two brothers. And my mother was like this here. I'm talking about hearing a voice of somebody. My mother would come to the door, and it would be getting near dark, and she would say, my older brother was Ronnie, my second brother was Chester, and I was nicknamed Furman. So she would say, Ronnie, Chester, Furman! Yeah, I'm talking about what used to happen. You know, and they would call you. And then, I don't care, brother old, if it was third down on the goal line, and all we needed was a touchdown. And when you hear Ronnie Chester Furman, you're going to see three people take off. Yeah, because see, back then, parents, and I'm talking about people talking about, well, it's hard to raise. No, my mother raised three boys by herself. Yeah. And my oldest daughter, get her height from my mother. My mother about 4'11". But in your mind, she's 7'9". She's just like Saul. Yeah. Yeah, and back then, let me say this here. Back then, parents got their bluff in when you were little.
Yeah.
They didn't have to deal with you when you got big. Even to the day when I got 6'2", I'm at Texas Southern going to college, playing football and everything, I was still scared of my mama. Yeah, because there was some whooping she gave me. They still hurt. Yeah, when I think about it, that pain still there from back then, because they didn't play then. You know, I'm saying parents didn't, my mother told me, said, no, you ain't gonna have to call the law on him. No, you ain't gonna have to. You know, sometimes now we get to the point that we got to call the law on our children. No, our parents was. There's some good teaching anyhow. Yeah. Well, 4'11". She would call us, boy, and she said, when she called us, you know what I'm saying? Because see, your parents back then, you weren't out after dark. Back then. Now children don't know when to come in. Why? Because parents never accept and never establish time for them. Yeah. Back then, when your mother back there, she cooking and she look up and she see the son leaving her. She would just go to the back door, you know, and, you know, it was something about that voice. You know, it's other voices you hear, but when you heard that voice, I'm telling you, Ronnie Chester, I'm the youngest one. She called you in order. Yeah, she ain't call you in disorder. Just like God have an arrangement, she had one. She started out with Ronnie and said, Chester. She said, Furman. And I mean, even if the play was called, brother, on that left, I don't care if the ball right here. I don't care if the ball that close to my hand. And all I can, if I catch it, we're going to win the game. No, I'm going to have to fight the next day because, brother, I'm letting that ball go. I'm going home because I know what Miss Maxine would do. See, back then we had, when I grew up, and this is some good teaching, when I grew up, back then, the older folk, and we had a I still remember, and they didn't name it after a candy bar, but her name was Miss Baby Ruth. Yeah. I always thought they named it after the candy bar when I was growing up. But Miss Baby Ruth, we didn't know this here, she was like, I spy for the neighborhood. You always had one older person, and that person knew everything. You know how you try to sneak stuff in the back door? And you know Miss Baby Ruth rocking chair was on the front porch. But when mama, she said, Maxine, come here, girl. She said, you know what Furman did? How do you know that? I mean, we snuck in the back door while it was still dark. We went in. Miss Baby Ruth knew about it. And she said, Maxine, come here, honey. You know, because you talk like that. She said, I think you need to have a talk with Furman. She said, yes, ma'am. And see, she didn't have to tell her why, because you was going to tell why. Because by then, parents had something to make you tell the truth. She said, boy, come here. You know, see, sometimes she'll call you by, if she don't call you by the name regular, you know you're in trouble. You know, you had an unleaded and a regular name. When she went unleaded, you know you dead. And she would say, come here. Yeah, I did it. Yep, mama, I'm sorry. And she would tell you this here. You know, it's almost like you go get the gun for yourself. She said, go get that belt. Yeah. And you know not to bring nothing this big. You brought it as large as you could. Because if she go get one, she might go get a tree stump. Let me leave that alone. I'm talking about how even when we were growing up, we listened to a voice. But now we got a spiritual voice. And I'm saying, why you say that, Brother Stroud? Because I'm telling us also that when our children won't listen to our voice, that's a problem. And understand this, parents, as they get older, the respect they have for your voice diminishes. And sometimes it's your responsibility to make sure that your children put value on your words. Yeah, that's a parental responsibility. That ain't no church responsibility. You know, you well, I'm sending the cutting off. All I can do, Brother Stroud, is help you with your children. But you got to send your children here, and they got to have the right attitude when they going over in the building, going to class. Yeah. I shouldn't have to tell them to stop playing with your cell phone. I should have to tell them to pick up their book. They should know when they go. Let me go back to the word. Jesus gave Paul a purpose. We also have a purpose. Go to Philippians 3:13. Oh, my time is up. Oh, man. My time is up. There's some good teaching anyhow. Yeah. Let me try to get to this. Verse 13, Brother Wayne.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Okay, so watch this here. I'm bring us this, 2017, move to 2018. Paul said, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't laid hold on life itself. He said, but this one thing I do, one thing I do, what I got to do with 2017? He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So 2017 will be behind us or in the past shortly. Now, watch this here. How you help us, Brother Stroud? Those things, and I'm going to show you what the word behind means in the text. Those things that were negatives in my life, I don't have to give much attention to. See, sometimes if we ain't careful, even as Christians, we hold on to negativity too long in our life.
That's true.
Harvey has done whatever he's going to do. Harvey has left town months ago. But if we're not careful, we still allowing Harvey to leave a mental scar on us that we can't overcome. But Paul told the church of Philippi, he said, now, you got to forget those things. What done happened has happened. There are things in your life that done happened. And Paul said, what you got to do as a Christian, you got to learn not to give much attention to it. Yeah. Somebody want to say, what's the best way to kill a tiger? They said, the best way to kill a tiger, Brother Wayne, is don't feed it. Anything you don't feed will eventually
die.
It's going to die. And the same thing with some of the things that happened to us in 2017. If we don't feed those things, eventually they're gonna die. Because the only way they live, anything, in order for anything to live, it's got to be fed. And I'm saying to us, 2017, it's almost over. As Paul said, forgetting those things. That don't mean that you can't remember, but what I'm saying to us is that I don't give attention to those things. So Paul said in verse 14, Brother Wayne, what I do about 2018?
I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
So now, Paul said for 2018, the word press means to pursue or to follow or to try to catch something. Paul said for 2018, all of us, he was talking to the church of Philippi, we ought to press toward the mark for the prize, and that prize that we're seeking is the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. We want to make heaven our home. So I want to leave us 4 points, and the best is yours. Concerning 2018, what are your spiritual priorities for this coming year? Give it to them in order. I would like to suggest, first of all, it need to be God. God ought to be your spiritual priority. Why, brother? I get from Matthew 22:36. Give us these 4 points of message yours. 2018, you know, and again, we're forgetting about 17. Whatever I done in 17, what I didn't do, and whatever things happened to me in 2017, those things are behind me. Paul said, forget them. Leave them there. Don't give them no attention. So the first thing, my spirituality, on Matthew 22:36, Jesus said what? They asked him about what is the greatest commandment. What did he say?
Jesus said unto them,
yeah,
thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart,
mm-hmm,
and with all thine soul,
yeah,
and with all thy mind.
Yeah.
This is the first and great commandment.
See, they asked him, they said, Master, what is the great commandment? So what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? Jesus told him, you got to love the Lord with all your heart. You got to love the Lord with all your soul, with all your mind. So what he's talking about from a soul has to do with my spirit. The mind has to do with my intellect. Now, my heart is what I give to the Lord. So in 2018, God is going to have my all. Yeah. How did God have my all? Because guess what, Brother Stroud? I'm going to be, to worship service is going to be a priority in my life. I can't have God as my object and I don't come to worship the one that is my object. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to miss worship. I'm not going to miss Sunday morning. I'm not going to miss Sunday evening. I'm not going to miss Bible class. Why? Because God has now is my number one priority. He's the object of my life. And so now I understand the only time that I can worship him is when I assemble based on he commanded me. Yeah, so God is the one that's my object. And you say that, why does God ought to be my object? He said, go to 1 John 4:9. Show you why God ought to be your object and why you ought to do for God what God has commanded us to do. 1 John 4:9.
In this was manifested the love of God toward us.
Yeah.
Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world,
yeah,
that we might live through him.
Yeah, now that's 1 John. Let me make sure I'm on the first right text. Let me get that, Brother Wayne. 1 John. Okay, then read verse 10. That's right. You good.
Herein is love.
Yeah, herein is love.
That not that we love God,
yeah,
but that he loved us.
Yeah.
And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
So now, why do I love God? You love God. Why do I serve God? John wrote, we love God because God first loved us.
Amen.
And what God did, understand this here, is God sent Jesus to be the word propitiation means it's a payment. We had a debt that we couldn't pay, and it was because of our sins. So what God did for us, he sent Jesus to be that payment for our sin. So then you say, well, then what's number two in my life? It ought to be Christ. Go to Matthew 22:46. Yeah. If God loved us before we loved him, and then God gave us Christ to pay for our sins, then it seems like after God will come Christ. Matthew 22:46. Jesus talking.
And no man was able to answer him a word.
No, 24:46. I'm sorry, Brother Wayne. 24. Let me get that. 24. Let me get that with you.
Okay.
Make sure I'm in the right text. 24:46. This is Jesus talking.
Blessed is that servant.
24:46. Luke 24. What did I say?
Matthew.
Thank you, church. 24, Luke 24:46. See, when y'all y'all trying to rush the preacher started running and he started missing stuff.
And he said to them,
yeah, slow down, Brother Stroud. Slow down. Wait, slow down, Brother Stroud. Take a deep breath. Luke chapter 24, and the verse is number 46, and it reads,
and said unto them, thus it is written,
yeah,
and thus it behooved Christ to suffer,
mm-hmm,
and to rise from the dead the third day.
Yeah, and?
And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Yeah, now, so now, God loved us first. I want you to connect this. We're talking about my spiritual priorities for this coming year. God loved us in that he sent his son. Mm-hmm. His son came and paid for our sins. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, it behooved, the word behooved means necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. And the word suffer means Christ has to experience the pain of being nailed to a cross by his hands and his feet until he was dead, and then he rose from the dead the third day. And see, I asked my wife, by the way, I said, Sister Al, I said, now, when you gave birth to your children, I said, is the pain still there? She said, no, the pain not there no more. But you experienced pain. She said, yeah, I did. I said, so now, the fact that you experienced pain for your children, what is your expectation of your children? She said, well, I expect them to love and respect me. Jesus suffered pain for all of us. Yeah. And just like a mother who gave birth to her child, you ought to expect that child to love and respect you. Yeah. And now we ask the question, well, then, how do I show love for Christ? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. So we show, just as a child would show love and respect to their parent, we do the same thing for Christ, because Christ suffered for us. The children will never endure the pain that mother did in giving birth to them, but they can have the love and respect for that mother. We can do the same thing for Christ. We can. We can. Yeah. And in having that love for Christ, we must tell others about the suffering and the death that Christ endured for all on the cross, which is what we call cross preaching. That's why he said, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. Yeah. You ain't no gospel preacher if you don't preach the cross. Amen? And so let me connect this as I close. So you got God who gave his son, and the son gave his life and experienced pain for us on the cross and suffered and died on the cross. And Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the primary mission that Jesus had. But watch this here. That becomes the church primary mission. Yeah. Yeah. Go to Ephesians 3:14. And I'm going to show this here. And I'm closing. We have to understand that the church here at Highland Heights, we are a spiritual family that become a family when we are born into the family through baptism. But now, Paul said it in Ephesians 3:14. He said, for this cause,
I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Of
whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Yeah, now Paul said it. Notice now, so what I'm saying that, third in your priorities, God first because he sent the son because he gave his life, and his son had a mission, Luke 19:10, was to seek and to save the lost, which becomes the primary mission of the church, but we are a family. See, sometimes we forget that part. Yeah, family take care of each other. Go to 2 Corinthians 7:6 and show us something about when we are a family, what we ought to do for one another as a spiritual family. 2 Corinthians 7:6.
Nevertheless, Paul
wrote to the Corinthians, he said, nevertheless,
God that comforteth those that are cast down,
yeah,
comforted us by the coming of Titus.
Yeah, now, and I studied that word. The word comforted means that what the Lord is saying is that when those of us are low. Okay. The word comfort means to raise a person up. That's what the word comfort means. Raise them up. Yeah. So when those of us in our family are low, we need comfort. When we lose loved ones or in bereavement, when we suffer things in our lives, we need somebody to lift us up spiritually. And as a spiritual family, we need to start lifting each other up and not leave. Paul said, nevertheless, God, who comforted those that are, see, God send you to other people so that you can lift them up. Yeah. Highland Heights, we need to have more Tituses at this congregation. Yeah. So when somebody else is down, we can lift them up. Yeah. Why? Because we are a spiritual family. We understand our primary mission is to seek and to save the lost. Evangelism will never remove off the pinnacle of what the church is about, but also involved. Paul said we are a family. Family take care of one another. Even though we dispute with one another, we still show love and care for one another. And so finally, we got God that sent Christ. Christ died on the cross. Christ left us with a mission that we seek the lost, but also we understand that we don't forget the fact that we are family. But then now one have to go back to Philippians letter, Philippians 2, and understand that involved in that, the ultimate thing for us, and I'm going back to where we begin, Philippians chapter 2, Brother Wayne, and start at verse number 11, and that every tongue
should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Now, Paul told them, he said, now every tongue, all of us need to be able to recognize that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He said, and we say that to the glory of God, who is the Father. See that connection? God, then Christ. And then he's talking to the church. He said, wherefore,
my beloved,
yeah,
as ye have always obeyed,
yeah,
not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
So the fourth thing, in my prioritization, I have God, I have Christ, I have the church, and then I need salvation. Yeah, because one day we had a funeral. We funeralized a small brother on Friday. One day all of us going to be deceased. And the only thing that's important then is whether we have salvation. And so Paul said in the text, you got to work out your salvation. He said the word fear, remember we talked about that word, the word fear simply means respect, yeah, that we have for God. And we got to obey God. He said, as you have always obeyed. So how do we secure salvation? We secure salvation by obeying God. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to obey God. You need to do what God has stipulated for one to do. One must become a Christian by doing what God has said. Romans chapter 6, Brother Wayne, as I close. Read verses 1 through 4. And this is for the visitor that's here tonight or this morning. And you're not a Christian. You need to be a member of the Church of Christ. Romans 16 and 16. That's the only church that's in the Bible. But Paul said, what shall we say then?
Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Yeah.
God forbid.
God forbid.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
So Paul recognized that you can't, and you're here this morning, you should not live in your sins. Paul was reminding them of what they've already done. He said that, God forbid that you stay in sin. So how do I get rid of my sin problem? So I've talked about the gospel, Romans 1:15, that you hear the gospel. You believe that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He suffered for you on the cross. But now what else must I do, Brother Wayne?
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Read.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death,
mm-hmm.
that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
So what you do is you need to be baptized. You are still in your sins until you are water baptized for the remission of your sins. And Paul said, after you're baptized, now you move into a, he called it the newness of life. Now you got a new life. You're a member of the Church of Christ. You are now a Christian. You belong to Christ. God then becomes your Father. And all you have to do this morning is you come down here this morning and you will make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you repent of your sins. We will then baptize you for the remission of your sins, and then the Lord will add you to the church. If there's anyone today like to respond to the message, we bid you to come together. We stand and sing a verse of